game site about nothing. The Kronk Games Podcast. In the mid-2000s, two nerds with a website tried to make it last. Welcome to the dance.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to A Game Side About Nothing, the Kronk Games Podcast. I am Ray. Over there's Alex.
Hi.
Welcome back, Alex.
I'm back.
Are you ready for another tale?
I am. Are you? Wait, tale?
Yeah. Well, not like fiction.
Oh, okay.
This is stuff that actually happened.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Today's story is something where I will be describing a lot of actions and feelings from me in the past. So none of this reflects how I feel today unless stated otherwise. Although maybe I'll slip up and say something in present tense, but either way, just bear with me, folks, okay? Alex, this means you too.
What? Oh, me?
I need you to be an active listener and keep in mind I don't think this way anymore.
All right.
So that means I don't want to hear you say anything along the lines of, that's not how people work, Ray. All right?
You've used that before when you mimic me. Is that a thing that I've said before to you?
Enough times.
Okay.
All right. Are we good?
I guess. Yes.
Talk a lot about things that happened in the past.
Sure.
I say it to you specifically because you have this tendency to like latch on to things I've done in the past and think that I still do or say those things today. That's not always the case.
I think it's difficult because it's the nature of our long distance relationship, if you will. We don't catch up as regularly as we would if we were, living in the same town.
True enough.
So yeah. I've got these images of you that last for a long time and are sometimes hard to shake.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Like you, I thought you still worked at the, not the Rite Aid. What was it? The Walgreens, the
no.
Fred Meyer, Frederick Meyer. You still there?
Yeah, I'm district manager.
Wow. Hey, moving on up.
So yes, today's story also takes place towards the end of 2003. So Kronk Games have been going on for a few months already. And in the fall of 2003, or in the fall, usually every year, what happens is the Tokyo Game Show.
Right.
The other thing is that previously I mentioned on this show that a little detail I said was that when we started Kronk Games, we invited some of our old friends from the GIA to write anything on Kronk Games that they wanted, if they felt like it ever. And so that did mean things like Nick Maragos, our friend, joined us at the beginning to write some news stuff. And surprisingly, around the time of TGS here, the Tokyo Game Show, our old leader, Andrew Vestal, wanted to contribute something, a little commentary article about TGS after it ended and sort of the gaming industry in general is how it was at the end of 2003.
Did he want to contribute? I thought he just needed press credentials to get into the show. And we were like, oh, use ours. That was the way I remembered. I remember he needed a way to get into the show.
Okay.
He wasn't affiliated with anybody at the time.
That's true. And that's really what I need you here for, especially today, because I need you to fill in some gaps. And so, yeah.
All right.
It started with him wanting a press badge for the show.
Yes.
Much like how we went to E3 to begin
That's
with.
That's right.
We sneaked our way into a media pass. And so, I had no recollection of that part. So it makes sense that he would then use us basically as a press vector, let's say, to
sure,
get into
TGS. Man.
Okay. So yeah, through that, he wrote a little piece for us and also his blog at the time. Yukihime was his blog.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
He turned in this thing, this guest column. And it was his thoughts on TGS, of course, and the game industry, like I said. And some of it was actually kind of prescient. Like, here's some lines from it. He said it was a snapshot of an industry about to implode.
And, oh, wow, yeah.
Towards the end, he also wrote, unsure of where they want to take the industry, the reaction of Japanese developers has been to simply increase the glitter and gloss and hope gamers don't notice they're playing the same thing seven times over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of was going on around that time, and I think it got exacerbated. I think it eventually bit them in the ass in the generation after this, the Xbox 360 and the PS3, when there was just like a lot of palpable struggle to get good games out, especially from the Japanese side, when things like Gears of War, for example, were taking the rest of the world by storm. And suddenly Japan's relevance was really minimized, not like it was in the PlayStation 2 days.
Yes.
Partly because the PlayStation 3 was kind of a mess. And so we saw, like I said, some of that was exacerbated. And so you saw like the beginnings of this struggle, I think, by 2003 and 2004 when, like, okay, we said this already in previous episodes, like 2003 especially was pretty good for games. Pretty much every console firing on all cylinders. A lot of good PC stuff as well. There's no argument there. But there are the bigger sort of AAA examples of things where it seemed like a lot of iteration and repetition more than actually trying to evolve anything.
Yes. I know Andrew was very critical of this around this time. And I remember, I think, because of this, because he was getting kind of disillusioned with video games. I remember he said Metal Gear Solid 3 reignited his interest in games the same way that Final Fantasy 8 had. Because I think he was kind of feeling the same kind of slump just before FF8 came out.
Right.
Which is, I know is a game he loves. And I think he had that same rekindling again with MGS3.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I think I felt kind of similarly. Maybe not to that extent. But yeah, now I'm just kind of, it's different now. I mean, the industry is very, very different now. There's more things for everybody, I think. So it's you can't really say stuff like games are in a bad place. Well, some of them, I guess. You know,
right? There's so much now in so many different venues. Japan sort of latched on to some of those, like mobile games, for example. Although that's a different problem. I'm not saying a lot of those are good, but a lot of the the big popular stuff, you know, they went from glitter and gloss, as Andrew put it, to glitter and gloss, and also trying to take your money at every single opportunity.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a whole another can of worms. I should add, actually, to step back a bit, the context, I think, is some of what you were describing. Andrew was living in Japan during this time. He, I believe, was already a JET English teacher.
Yes.
So he'd been on the JET program, and so put in some podunk town to teach English in a school that just treats you very weird because you're the white English teacher, but you're part of the JET program, and so that's where you've been put. And
I remember modeling a lot of my post-collegiate life after Andrew, probably since the mid to late 90s when I discovered SquareNet. I was just like, this guy's cool. He's got it all put together. I'm just going to do exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And that led to me wanting to come to Japan and be an English teacher here, even though I didn't know what I was going to do after that. I just kind of assumed like, oh, I'll, you know, do what he does without considering. I don't have any of the qualifications or relevant experience or contacts.
Well, you started a website.
I did. What?
Crunk Games is what I'm talking about.
Oh, right. Yes, that one. Yes.
The topic of the podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, starting a website,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's as impressive as started a podcast. It's a thing that anybody can do for minimal cost.
Right, of course. But we wanted to grow it, right? No.
Yes, we are growers, not showers. Right?
Boy, ain't that the truth. But what I also wanted to say was that probably where some of Andrew's outlook on video games around this time might have been rooted in the stress of being an English teacher
in the JET
program. So, yeah, that's an assumption.
That's part of the whole disillusionment process. Mm-hmm. If you come to Japan, is realizing, you know, you're excited before you come here as a JET, and then you get here and you're like,
you're JET all the way.
It's not, yeah. You're like, oh, it's not one of my Japanese animes. It's a country with its own problems and things that I have to deal with that I'm not used to. And boy, the drudgery of daily life, the fact that so many, this is not a slight against Japanese people, but it is a criticism of Japanese society. The fact that everyone kind of just resigns themselves to this shogunai attitude of, guess I have to do the shitty thing I don't want to do to keep society rolling.
Yep.
And you're kind of taught not to be individualistic and not think of things critically and just go through the motions, you know, like you study English to graduate, not to communicate, but to pass a test. After a couple of years of that, it certainly made me disillusioned, and it's sort of, Japan lost a little bit of its luster after that.
No kidding.
Until I started looking for meaning in other parts of the country, which is fine, which is great. There's a lot of Japan to enjoy. It's a great place. But yeah, from a JET's point of view, it seems like less of a great place.
Yeah, it seems like a great opportunity at first, but then really rough going. Is just the whole attitude, or no, perspective I got on ALT, English teaching in general over there.
And it's, we talked about this on the proper show, but it's even worse now.
Yes, that's right.
Because not only are salaries not going up, they are decreasing in some places.
Yeah.
And companies are just, you know, I mean, as they have always been, taking advantage of the foreign teachers who do come here, but it hurts a lot more when the economy is bad, because the yen's not doing great. So like, you know, if you come to Japan now to teach English, you better fucking love Japan, because you're not making any money doing it.
Right. Well, you also have to love teaching. And maybe that's some of a net positive for some people. Like, they get to teach kids a lot of the time.
Yeah. We should also qualify that teaching is in quotes. It's, if you're working for a Kaiwa like I did when I came over with Nova, like, that's not teaching. That's conversation practice. That's literally the thing that anybody can do if you have a college degree. And even if you want to be an ALT, you don't need an education degree or an English degree, because it's only one step up from a Kaiwa. You're still, I believe the term is a human tape recorder. You stand in front of the class and you read from a textbook. And
Yeah, it's like going to the free clinic.
Yeah. I had to design a few activities and stuff, but like at no point was I in charge of any kind of curriculum, because the A in ALT stands for assistant.
Yes.
Which is weird though. I think it's the only industry like that where, like, you know, if you were to hire like a paralegal assistant, you wouldn't just hire someone because they had a chemistry degree, you know? You'd probably want them to have some kind of law degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a silly, silly industry that is in the midst of imploding. And I mean, for younger folks' sake, I hope it picks up, because I think, you know, it's fun to come to Japan and teach English, but it's better to do that when it's, you know, safer financially and you're not like barely putting any money away every month.
Yeah, there's a lot of circumstances that would have to, I think, you know, go right for it to really be appealing for most people.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the bar as well, now is not the time to do it.
For your bar, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of my clientele were English teachers, and then once the pandemic kicked off, a lot of folks left, understandably, and during the pandemic is when the ESL industry started to nosedive, and so some folks have come back to fill those jobs, but not nearly enough.
I suppose Jet did fill that niche of, like, you get to go out in the rural areas, I think, a lot of times. And as the teacher, like, you don't really get much of a say as to where you're going to go, I believe, if I recall. Yes. At least, maybe not, at least back then, I guess. And so, but nevertheless, you have the, you know, more, slightly more remote communities than just, you know, Tokyo or Kyoto or whatever. And those little towns and cities need schools and proper education and teachers and stuff.
Jet, I think, I don't know, I heard this was true. I don't know for sure because I have never been a Jet. But supposedly it looks better on your resumes because it is a government job. You can put down that, yes, I was employed by the government of Japan, which may only be useful if you're applying for a job back in your home country and they don't dig too deeply into what JET is.
Sure. Well,
and they see, wow, Japanese government, hey. Yeah.
Or you want to be a professional interpreter or something.
Also that, yeah.
Very government-based, yeah.
Yes.
Nevertheless, we got way off track from TGS here.
Yes, okay.
Video games.
Yes, the girly show. Oh.
We're in a weird place.
Yeah.
You had to get in one girly show reference, didn't you?
Yes.
Just once. Who Dat Ninja? They had that at TGS. So Andrew wrote this little thing, and it was all right. It was fine. But then he included a photo dump, which also sounded great to me. Now we're getting to the part where I start to talk about how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Andrew included this photo dump of a guy who was then just known as Jason. And it's a bunch of photos of Jason posing next to booths at TGS and the booth babes and doing a bunch of silly poses. I believe he was wielding a Kenshin Dragon Quest sword controller.
Oh, fun.
For most of it. And it's like 64 photos, which I think is more than we published for E3, like in total on Crunk Games. So he gives us all of these photos. Every single one has this guy in it. There's no Andrew. There's really no other sorts of like proper looking at a video game or a booth or anything. And I didn't expect that. I didn't expect the photos to be like that when he said he had photos. And I see all these and it's just all of this guy. And I didn't want to do it. I immediately felt that I didn't want to put these photos up and possibly even, maybe not even run the whole piece. Because I was just like, at the time, like, who was this? I didn't know. And it was never clearly explained. But he's in all these pictures doing physical comedy. And what am I supposed to make of that? And Andrew kind of writes about it in the beginning of the thing. It's kind of, it sounds kind of coy. I think he's playing coy. He says, "Don't worry, I'm not quite sure who this shaggy guy is either. I do know that his name is Jason. He lives in Tokyo, teaches English, and DJs with Game Boys." I felt like, well, okay. I was just very weird about it. I thought Andrew would have done something a bit more aligned with us and how we thought at the time. And it's kind of what I was feeling. I was feeling really weird about it. And I was just kind of getting like, and I was feeling the need to kind of stand up for myself and for us or Crunk Games or something. So I sort of put that out to him, you know, on IRC or whatever. I basically just said firmly that, you know, I'm not going to run the photos if they're all like that.
Yeah. I'm looking at them now and yeah, I can totally understand where you're coming from. This is, yeah.
Now, you know, I had a pretty good sense of who Andrew Vestal was at the time. I consider him a friend even back then, still do. Great, fine. But I knew this wasn't going to be met completely agreeably. And so as we were talking about it on IRC, there was kind of a small heated exchange. Maybe it was email or IRC. I don't really remember. I don't even have the log of it because this is kind of a painful memory. But
sure.
It was just like, it became a tiny argument. And I didn't ultimately want to blow up this relationship. So again, without remembering all the details and certainly not wanting to recall all of them to you, it ended with me just letting it go up and then maybe let things die down after that. And so the piece, it went up with all the pictures. Now, didn't take long to see Jason come into his own prominence more gradually, because this was actually Jason DeGroot, who was also known as 6955. That's his, you know, his DJing name. And turned out to be actually a pretty cool guy. You know, he did the rounds in Japan for a long time, as Andrew sort of mentioned there. And he'd been doing his music for a while. I believe he was in a Moji Piton commercial.
Sure.
But anyway, like, nothing against him in all of this. It was just like, I didn't know who this guy was at the time. I don't know why Andrew was including these photos. Clearly you had some fun at TGS's expense with him. It just wasn't jiving with me. But it's funny that this was the guy, because as an aside, I just want to say, later on, years later, the 1UP show would do a very similar thing in like an early episode of that, where they had a segment where they brought Phil Fish, who was completely unknown back then, I might add. They brought him around like an E3 booth tour, again, with no context of really who he was, other than that they called him Phil. And again, even then, I was like, why? This is your content? Who is this? I knew who Phil Fish was at the time because he was a snotty poster on NeoGAF for a while. And so I was extra confused how he got there onto the 1UP show so early on, just to do the Sieg 3 segment. And so coincidentally, Jason DeGroot was originally doing the music for Fez until that fell apart. I can't imagine why, but I just thought that was a funny coincidence, sort of a double dovetailing coincidence there in that little story, because like, A, it's Jason, B, it's the 1UP show, and C, it's me having the same sort of feelings about why they would put someone who was kind of unknown at the time in a thing and expect people to like care. That was my feelings. And so the article went up on Crunk Games and things were, you know, cooled down. And of course, Andrew and I were okay after that. And I can say though, that the kind of feelings I had about that setup of that sort of thing, I still generally don't like that sort of thing where you're just shoving someone into your content. And especially when I think it's going against what I think the site or the project or the enterprise that I'm involved with should be about. But I've also recognized that this is knee-jerk bullshit from the part of my brain that doesn't really like change and can't always deal with it. And so I'm older and I've realized also I've had better things to worry about and people can do what they want. And really, like, the 1UP show notwithstanding, like, where are the sites and media that even do this sort of thing anymore anyway?
Oh, yeah, they're all TikToks now.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, everybody is one of these people.
Yeah.
Everybody's pissing me off. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to find what Jason's up to these days. I may have found his Instagram. Is this it? Just a guy wading through the sea of life trying to follow Christ and teach his kids to swim?
It's potential.
All right.
All right. We'll look into that more.
I'm trying to find out what he's been up to lately. He remixed a No More Heroes track. I can't tell if that was released in an official capacity or if that was a fan project. I don't know what he's doing. Is he still in Japan? I have no idea.
Yeah, he kind of dipped out of the limelight a bit. I think after that whole Fez fallout, he just started rolling along.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
But yeah, I'm looking at these photos and it's very 2003 nerd mugging to the camera. It's very,
yeah,
innocuous. It's, you know, we would have done the same thing, certainly.
Yes. Here's the whole twist, Alex.
What's up?
Here I was grousing about posting goofy pictures of a guy I didn't know when we built the site on the exact same thing. We took Joel to E3. And then after this article, by the way, him and Lauren. And then we decided to continue to take all the photos and post those on our website.
That is
you
true.
You dumbass. Who cares?
Yeah, we are guilty of certainly using Canadians as accessories.
Yes. Yes, that's the other coincidence. Yeah. Taking our Canadian friends, who nobody really knows.
Yeah.
And we expect people to know and care.
Well, Lauren does work in games now, right? Is she translating in Korea?
Yeah, that's true, yes.
But I think so? Okay.
At the time, not so much. She was.
Right.
Yeah, Ray. Ray.
Do you want me to do it? I can just give you a clean one that you can use whenever you need. Ray.
I like to do my impression.
All right, it's fine.
So, yeah, it's like we did the exact same thing, and I'm sure there was a solid chance that Andrew was cognizant of that and thought that this wouldn't even be a problem, right? Do you think? It's Crunk Games. It's me and Alex, the goofy guys, making our own website with the goofy stuff on it. We know I think we have some idea of what our friends thought of us in that way, and so it just, like, yeah, of course. I'm sure he just uploaded them all and said, hey, here you go. I'm sure there won't be any problem. Until idiot me decides, well, it's not, what, you know.
I can see where you're coming from. I don't think your reaction is entirely unwarranted because, again, it is a guy we don't know in almost every photograph on our website where he doesn't do or write anything. It's just, you know, and it's not like he had to be in the pictures. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to put myself in the moment. Maybe Andrew was just like too shy to ask for photos of all these beautiful women and had to be like, oh, get a photo with my friend. Put him in the shot. Make him part of this. Make him party to this whole process.
Shy is not a word I would describe Andrew for most things.
So no.
I don't think that was really.
Okay, I take it all back. Hey, there's a very young John Riccardi in here as well.
Right, yeah.
Look at
I guess that's what I would say to what you were saying there is that, you know, he had plenty of friends already in Japan. Like,
yes.
There was a crew already going to TGS. Of course, they were going to do similar sorts of goofing around anyway. So, like, Jason was tagging along for that, I'm sure. Are you saying you agree with me 20 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Well, okay, agree is a strong word.
Okay.
Yes. Let's say I completely understand your side of it.
My knee-jerk reaction there, yeah.
Yes. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's unhealthy to view everything in terms of black and white. So let's just say that I completely understand your position in all of this. And I don't think your response was unwarranted in any way.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I still feel like in hindsight, it was kind of not well thought out on my end.
Well, look, unless you send me the emails and the conversations, I can't really render a verdict on
that. No, of course. I don't have any of that, like I said. And so
good.
I'm just going by memory and, you know. Painful Let's
live
memory.
Live in the present. Look at this new fad. Have a cronut.
That's a little later. What?
Yeah. Talk to me, Furby. Tickle me, Elmo. Those aren't the same thing.
No.
Action Man. It's what Turbo Man. That's the one. That's the doll every kid wants for Christmas.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, Christmas is over, baby. It's 2003.
Jamie.
There was a Turbo Man and a Mega Man, right? Was that 8? 7 or 8?
No, 7.
7.
Good. Yeah, that's a video game fact. Thank you,
So let's
Alex.
Let's reshoot Jingle All the Way, but we replace their Turbo Man with, like, you know, an actual figure of Mega Man 7 Turbo Man.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah, we got to get Arnold back for it.
Okay.
Both Arnolds, really.
I'll call Capcom.
Right?
They'll make a crappy movie out of anything.
Because there's Arnold Schwarzenegger, but there's also Tom Arnold.
Okay.
So on the poster, they should have written Tom Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right. Well, generally, the point I wanted to make here was that it's something that we've talked about before on No More Whoppers, where it's like, yeah, I kind of want to just like mellow out and not have to completely have flare-ups in relationships with my friends where it probably isn't entirely warranted. Now, nonetheless, you said that you understand where I was coming from, but I still don't think it was ultimately warranted, you know?
I do not fully comprehend the severity with which you sent any of these messages, because I'm hearing right now is you had a very understandable reaction to someone saying, here, post 40 pictures of my friend mugging at the camera on your website. That's what I think happened, because that's all the information I have. I don't know what else you want me to say.
All right. Now, hold on. This is the reaction I didn't want. I didn't want this.
Hi.
Ray. This is.
Oh, it's great.
We're in the wrong territory here.
I'm gonna start not doing that. I'm gonna start doing it high pitched now instead.
Okay.
How do you like that, right?
Like a little fairy. Raymond, refill my potions.
That's my Animal Crossing villager. What do you think?
It's pretty good. Actually. Yeah.
All right.
Long time Animal Crossing player since the beginning. Yeah. It's all in well and great. Okay.
Dobutsu.
I just think, like, who cares? Because to me, it felt like now it feels like I was just being protective of this unknown and rather stupid website and couldn't see the forest for the trees. That's really how it all shakes out, I think, in my memory and my reflection of it.
Memory foam.
Now, it still was kind of a weird thing lingering for me. And so when it came to redesign Krunk Games around 2006 or so, I was also deciding to clean out some particularly outdated articles. And I guess I was still feeling maybe not petty, but still like just weird about that whole column. And quietly, I just did not keep it for the redesign of the site because I moved
once
everything
again,
over to WordPress.
Understandable.
But here we are now, 2024. And I'm just like, what was the big deal to begin with? And so, much like with the Game Boy Advance Buyer's Guide from a few episodes ago, I have reinstated the Tokyo Game Show 2003 recap from Andrew Vestal with all of his photos. Because even though it's not something I might have liked at the time, I did, of course, keep it around in my archive because I kept the entire website throughout the years. And so everything is completely preserved here for all of you today, and you can even check out the link to Andrew's blog that doesn't exist anymore. It's a real fun time.
Cool. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
The photos, that is.
Yeah.
Pretty great. Some of these are not bad.
Yeah. I mean,
the ones without that guy in them.
The thing also, it's like, it's not like we wouldn't have done this same thing with Joel.
Right.
Imagine if we took Joel to the Tokyo Game Show.
Joel, get under her boot. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, maybe we wouldn't do it to this volume, but no. We would do a few pictures like this for sure. Yes, of course.
I mean, look, we took the photo that matters, and that's Joel being executed by Shadow the Hedgehog.
That's right. The one that is our legacy, I think, in the
yes.
end. Joel's legacy and the Krunk Games legacy.
I don't know if we saw Brett Elston first or if he saw us afterwards, but he did the same thing.
Yeah. I think a couple other people did. It's ripe for interpretation from
right,
the crowd.
It's certainly possible.
So that is like it. That's all I wanted to talk about really today. It's just a quick little interlude into what we're going to talk about next time where it gets really thorny. But
Courtney Thorne Smith?
Hell.
Speaking of 2003.
B-O-R-E-D.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Alex.
I'm here to help.
I am actually surprised that you do understand where I was coming from, even with the limited detail.
Yes, of course I do.
Well, okay, let's go back to a point I was making, is that I do tend to have these feelings of like someone misunderstanding, misinterpreting something that I have made and have a certain idea of, and then having to like contend with that outcome. For example, when I launch a video game with my own company and someone puts a review on iTunes saying it's the official game of No More Whoppers, like, no, that's not really what I'm going for here. As much as I love No More Whoppers and Alex,
hi,
I'm making video games of my own volition for my own purposes. And so
yes,
I am, of course, glad that fans of the show will come and consume the other media that I create. But it's not like this podcast is some Howard Stern thing where you're just going to walk into any venue and be like, you're going to Baba Booey me around. It's that kind of thing that I have trouble with. And this was another one of those moments. So I suppose that you have felt the same way about other things is why you understand where I was coming from.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Another example I can bring up, maybe not as extreme and maybe not as annoying, but people who just, when I started Scroll, like when Strolls, God, no, I can't give Alex ammo. No. When that magazine first came out and people were covering it and also just kind of treating it like it was going to be a real like retail magazine.
What? Who?
Not like, nobody said that exactly, but there was some like excitement in writing from Jason Schreier covered it on Wired when he was writing it for the time. And it's just like, the vibe I got from some people was that I was going to do this as some sort of competitor in the print retail game magazine space. Because I think coincidentally, EGM had relaunched. So there was the new EGM around the same time. And things were just kind of like weird for magazines in general. But I was just like, no, I was just doing this for myself. And I was just using an on-demand print service to make it. So no, I don't really have like grand aspirations to like turn it into a business. It's just my little zine.
Is it possible they were confused by, because I remember you specified that it was not, you said it was not a zine or a fanzine. And I think that led people to believe, oh, that means it's a professional magazine that's coming out every month.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I have a part in that as well. It's not like I completely perfectly messaged it. But I do think maybe people saw that maybe the design was a little bit above average compared to some other like Kickstarter type game books and stuff. And people thought that, oh, Ray's breaking out on his own with this. Oh my gosh. And it's like, no, this is just Crunk Games 2.0, but in print.
That's right. I'm sure you saw an uptick in sales after that that ad spot on Jordan Jesse Go that somebody bought you.
Hey, there's another example of someone not quite doing what I'd like them to do.
Why? I was trying to promote your thing.
No,
it was a birthday gift.
Your heart was in the right place.
Yes.
But, oh man, I wish you'd have conferred with me first.
Why?
Because I would have done the messaging a bit different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's not forget they got, I think, all of the information wrong.
I don't remember any wrong information, but yeah.
Because when you buy a Jumbotron message on those podcasts, there's like a web form that you fill out, and they basically ignored everything I wrote in the "What do you want us to say?" box, and they said the name of the thing and who you are and what they thought it was, and then I lost $200.
Yeah,
that was how that played out.
Yeah. So, yeah. You see, we all learned some lessons.
Yeah. Not great.
That's the story. That's what we have today.
That's where this isn't long enough to be an episode. Tell me about, let's go back to Dragon Quest Swords.
Dragon Quest Swords or Kenshin Dragon Quest?
Kenshin Dragon Quest.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about the precursor to Dragon Quest Swords, which was the plug and play TV game thing.
Now, this is going to be hard to talk about because I haven't played it.
Yeah. You're going to have to look at these pictures of Jason DeGroot holding the shiny sword.
I'm going to be extremely real with you right now. The tab has already been closed.
Oh, okay. You don't want to reopen the tab just for reference?
All right, I'm reopening it.
Okay.
Hang on here. Does it glow like that on its own, or is that camera trickery?
I think it's camera trickery. It's just like a very reflective
So Andrew made sure to get it at the right angle every time?
Well,
it's glowing in every shot. No, yeah, right?
Let's just call it a happy coincidence, I suppose.
No, I think it has to glow. There's no light sources.
But there's another picture of like someone's backpack that has a reflective stripe and it's glowing the same way.
Maybe that backpack is part of how you play Kenshin Dragon Quest.
Okay, well, that I know it's not. No.
How do you know, though?
I've seen the unit.
Well, take that out of context.
It's a sword control. Please don't. It's a sword controller with a little box as the console.
He's about to stab Billy Hatcher and the giant egg. Wait, what was the Japanese title? Biri Hacha no Daiboken. Giant egg, : Billy Hatcher no Daiboken. Yes. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Wow, they got the actual Billy Hatcher there.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
He's my hero.
Puyo Puyo Fever, Sega Xbox stuff going on. All right.
Yeah, my favorite. And the final picture is a giant Swayzo from Monster Ranch.
Oh, R.I.P. Swayze, yeah.
No.
What?
What?
It's funny to think that this is now over 20 years old. This is two decades ago. TGS photos, and I've still never been to a TGS. I probably will never go to a TGS. And this is just a blanket announcement to anybody listening who may come to the bar. You can stop asking me if I'm going to TGS, because I can promise you resoundly for the rest of time, the answer is no. Because why? What is there for me? What is worth spending tens of thousands of yen on Shinkansen and hotel fees to go play some demos for games I'm not interested in? You tell me.
Well, I think it's because you run a video game bar, and so I think we'd think you'd be really into video games, and you would like to go because you also live in Japan, and you have a lot of Japanese video games. I think maybe you'd like to play video games.
Here's why you are wrong, and also please leave. I'm not a fan of modern video games. We know this. Like, I mean, maybe I'm behind on the news. Is TGS going to start covering retro stuff that was released 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago?
That's my answer.
I was looking for a more concrete answer if you have one.
I guess not.
Then I'm not going.
Okay, great.
Easy.
Well, I would still like to go. I've never been.
Oh, if you come, I'll go with you.
Oh, all right. Well,
because, yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be very fun.
The flip side of that is that my plans for the next Japan vacation don't include Tokyo. So no. I wouldn't be doing that anyway.
Okay.
But maybe, you know, in the future. Someday. Yeah.
Once you've seen Tokyo, you've seen Tokyo.
Yeah. And I've also seen a video game trade show.
Yes. Once you've seen one, guess what? Same deal.
Yeah.
Once you've seen one of those, you're fine.
Uh-huh.
But they've got the new version of game. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, true. But at least back then, in Andrew's time,
the 1800s,
all of his friends who also lived in Japan would come and convene on the space, and everybody would hang out and do all that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that in particular was kind of the golden age of working in games media, either covering or I guess some folks were getting their start working on games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, I hung out with Andrew and John and Mark when I was a student there. I think in 2004, I went up to Tokyo. We just hung out for a couple of days, and that was fun. That was really cool.
TGS in a way. You know.
Yeah, for a while, it really made me want to get into localization. I was really considering it until I was roundly rejected by 8-4 in 2010, 11-ish.
Okay.
Some hard feelings.
No.
And then I kind of re-examined my priorities and decided to shift my focus. It also doesn't pay super well, which was a big concern for me, at least back in the day. And I mean, now with the weak yen, especially, this is bad news for everybody involved, but the advent of AI, I did know a translator guy who started losing work because they were farming out all of his work to computers, and then just having a native speaker who knows zero Japanese just proofread them to make sure everything's fine. Follow-up bonus content to that story, the guy's an asshole, so I don't care.
Sure, well.
You know, totally don't mind that he lost his localization jobs. That's all I got!
Yeah, it would be nice if AI was not attractive to idiots who want to bilk everyone else out of money.
Oh my God. Did you see the announcement from the the current Square Enix president, his New Year's announcement.
Yes, yes.
Like, last year it was a different guy, but last year the New Year's statement was like, folks, we're going all in on NFTs because we know that's what you want.
Yeah.
And now the new guy's like, folks, we're going all in on AI because that's what we want.
Yeah, it's after last year, it's not surprising because and especially in Japan, I think my high level thesis here is that Japan is absolutely just not the technological giant it ever was in the 80s. That is long gone. That is in the rearview mirror. That's not coming back. They have now just been reduced to trend chasers. And you got a lot more people who are way more into NFTs even right now and way more into AI especially, and will just like completely be opportunistic about that every which way they can. And you see it not only in the corporate level, but just like on the internet, social influencer level, just like people trying to still get you interested in crypto and AI and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's a real bummer because remember when you just used to make cool stereos and TVs and video games and stuff, and
that's
where you got your lunch completely eaten by your biggest Asian competitors. And what do you got now? You're just chasing some tech bro dickhead from San Francisco's idea of what needs to happen in the future.
Yeah. It is pretty sad.
Yeah. Like I was saying, Andrew's piece was a little bit prescient in that way.
Yes. Wow. We can trace all this back to 20 years ago.
Exactly. Damn. Yeah.
Wowzers. Yeah. There's a great, like talking about this NFT garbage, there's a great interview that Adam Conover did with Dan Olson on his YouTube, Adam's YouTube channel, where they talk about like, NFT bros hyping up NFTs for use in video games and giving these examples of like, you could get a sword in Zelda and then use it in Diablo. And this interview is basically those two guys explaining how that is complete horseshit. There's no way in fucking hell Nintendo is going to like have to redo assets to then import into another game. They're like, not even considering the licensing aspect of it. Like, I'm sure the Master Sword is some kind of trademark, but like, Nintendo's not going to waste time, money, and resources on having a guy redo a Master Sword for Diablo's art style or letting Blizzard do that themselves. It's just not a thing that's going to happen.
No, of course not.
And I don't understand what Square Enix's deal is. Like, have they walked back the NFT thing at all, or are they still going forward with it?
It's hard to tell. I think they ultimately have just been sweeping that under the rug, although they did apparently attempt to make some sort of NFT-based game, and they showed some art or screenshots of it, and it definitely looked like they got a C-team in the company to make a ultra-generic-looking RPG-type thing and somehow integrate NFTs into that.
Yeah.
So that is essentially what that amounted to.
Okay.
And
because it does strike me as very much what you described as just, this is the trend, we have to go all in on it. Uh-oh, it's garbage.
Some shit several months ago, maybe even last year, where Takashi Meijin, is not NFTs necessarily, but he was like talking on a live stream with some other old Hudson guy, and this guy was involved in like a crypto thing, and they were on a live stream talking about how great crypto is. And I was just like, yeah, it's especially going to happen in the old heads who just really need to grasp at some relevance. And
My God,
that was a bummer.
I had a like three or four German guys came to the bar like 6 or 7 years ago and asked me if I took Bitcoin. And I said no. And they were just like, well, you should start. It's going to be the future.
Oh, yeah. Where are they today? One wonders.
Germany?
No, I mean financially speaking.
Oh, I see. And you know what? I bet if I had taken that one transaction in Bitcoin and then held on to it and then sold when it was worth a lot, that would have been worth my while. But like the sheer headache of even investing, and I don't just mean that financially, but investing yourself in crypto and NFTs is just, the last thing that I want.
But to go back to Square, the NFT thing, kind of probably not going to happen. they did an AI thing already. They released a tech preview thing. They remade the Portopia serial murders. Remember, it's like it was a Yuji Horii's breakout adventure game for the old computers.
Yeah.
And it was really popular on Famicom as well. So they basically remade it with like an AI prompt, like you would type things into this text field and then your partner, the guy who's on screen most of the time in the game, would try and answer you with AI, like he was AI instead. The thing was completely fucking broken. None of it worked. But they put it on Steam for free, and so everybody got to look at it and see that, yeah, this is all fucking broken. What is the problem with you guys?
Wow. And, so wait, you could just like, you could type in things like, always call me Buttface, and then ask your partner, where was the witness at 3 o'clock? They were at the racetrack, Buttface.
Well, ideally, but it, you know, it was so intelligent that if you tried to type in and enter anything, the guy would just say, I'm not sure I understand you.
So it's exactly the same as text adventures from 40 years ago.
Exactly. Their grand idea to make this into some super intelligent response completely crashed and burned for whatever fucking reason. Oh, and half the time it was querying a server and couldn't connect to it, and so it would just time out.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that crashed and burned, but yes, of course, now in the new year, it's like, oh no, we're still totally big on AI. You'll see. You'll see. Just wait. Yeah.
I mean, AI, I mean, let's also be upfront about the fact that AI, it's not just blanket poor applications. Like AI does have uses, but I think generative AI in the sense of like the NPCs will all react to what you say. Don't do that. Nobody wants that.
The generative stuff, is extremely limited in terms of purpose. And like, but again, and we're being cynical about trend chasers like Square Enix. We'll just, you know, their president and we'll just chase anything, I'm sure. And anybody else involved in Japan's tech industry, I suppose, where it's just like, yeah. You know, we have CES coming up, I think next week or so. And you can just imagine what the flood of bullshit is going to be. Every single booth, just some sort of AI hokum. And it should be fun in a sad way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, a game site about nothing, looking towards the future.
Yes. I should add also Andrew's column, some criticism of Square Enix at the time. And so, hey, guess where we are now? It's brought us back.
Yeah.
To bitching about Square Enix.
Yeah.
And their idiocy. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out in February. Look for it.
Yeah, that's funny that 20 years ago at TGS, Andrew's talking about Advent Children, and here we are. The FF7 franchise is just powering on as strong as ever.
Yeah, and I would say also around this time is when people, the public at large, started to think that there should be a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane that this one game has spawned its own like sub-series. And I have to imagine, I mean, I know people...
That's what happens when you make it big.
Yeah, I mean, I think even Andrew said 20 years ago, I remember distinctly seeing him post this on GAF. This is pre-Neo GAF even.
Right.
But when they announced Advent Children, his response was just, it's 2003. It's 2003. Can we stop pretending that we like FF7? Please. Like, it was great for the time. And the time, in context, is 5 years ago.
Yeah.
before Advent Children was, or six. But, like, how and why is this being revered as the greatest game of all time? It's like, I mean, I kind of get irrational and angry about, well, everything. But specifically... Mm-hmm. When people go on about Chrono Trigger being the best game of all time. But at least in that case, I understand why. It's because Chrono Trigger is a great game. And every part of it is competent and charming. FF7 is not. It's such a fucking mess. It was just so many people's first RPG that, well, you always remember the first one. Let's make it a whole fucking series. I'm not yelling at anyone in particular right now. Certainly not you. Just getting some thoughts out of my head.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, yes. Andrew, though, loves FF8, just not the two surrounding it.
No. I wish they would do something with FF. Like, FF8 had a more interesting world and characters than 7 did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, yes.
9 I'm not a big fan of, but, well, I guess they already did 10-2 and 10-3. I don't know.
10-3? You're talking about the book?
Is it not called 10-3? I just assumed it was called 10-3.
No, it's some other made-up name for the novel.
But let's not forget here, I will bring this up every time, let's not forget that that book is canon, and that book has a scene where Titus dies by stepping on a landmine disguised as a blitzball.
No. He kicks a bomb, the Final Fantasy enemy, the bomb.
Oh!
That he thought was a blitzball.
Oh!
So it's very much canon that...
I've had this... Okay.
It's Sorry, very much go. Canon that Titus is a himbo.
Yes.
An airhead dipshit.
Yes.
And would absolutely kill himself over some stupid mistake.
All right. I've had this story wrong in my head because it was conveyed to me, but I haven't read the book. It was conveyed to me by someone who had. And this is great. I'm always happy to correct any incorrect info that's in my brain. It is so much funnier to me now knowing that it is the FF enemy bomb, because the way it was told to me, it was like a landmine, like an actual device.
And no, it was a bomb.
I don't know
enemy.
Why, but it is much funnier to me that it's the enemy and that's enough to kill him. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course it is.
That is wild.
Those things aren't...
Wow, my version was some, like, fucked up game of telephone.
Yes, absolutely.
It had been told to me by someone who may not have even read the book.
Yeah.
That's incredible. All right, everybody update your internal... FF10 wiki, because that's how Titus dies after being brought back to life at the end of FF10-2. If you get the 100% ending.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which I did. I did love 10-2 a lot.
It's very fun, yes. 10-2 is very good. And
I'm a sucker for a job system.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we said as much on Krunk Games.
I'm also just kind of a sucker.
Yes.
Hey, did you... Those speakers fell off a truck. I'll buy them.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah, they are kind of heavy. It's fine. I'll take them. I don't need to check.
Well, I almost picked the TV up off the curb yesterday.
Oh, that's right. The Trinitron.
Yeah. Until it killed itself, not unlike Titus.
The TV kicked a bomb.
Well, it was a windy day, and I guess it tipped over forward and hit the curb and...
Oh no.
Now it
I also had a Trinitron, and it was too big to put in the bar. There was no place I could put it where it would fit. And I deliberated over this for weeks. I could not find a place for it, and there wasn't space for it at home. And I very reluctantly donated it to the Chubu University Smash Brothers Melee Club.
Okay, yeah.
Because at least they're going to get some use out of it, you know.
True.
But now that we're in this bigger apartment, there's like a dozen places I could have put it.
Yeah.
If I had just let it live in our Gen Con for another 5 years.
Well, I also previously picked a TV up outside like years ago. I think we were doing No More Whoppers. It was like 2013 or 14. And it was nearby my apartment in Burlingame.
Oh.
And it was another older Sony Trinitron set. But then I was moving out, or didn't, I guess, feel that I really had the space for it, and or couldn't justify having it any longer. So I just put it back where I found it. And this was maybe...
Oh, no!
8 or 10 months later, yeah.
Aw.
Well, it's okay, because they were both of those TVs in the Today story and the previous story were kind of older in the sense that they didn't have component input, and I really wanted component on top of composite and S-video. I wanted the whole spread. So I'm just going to wait till maybe one of those happens along my path. But
I'm happy with just S-Video.
S-Video is pretty good, yes. I would have accepted that if maybe this new one didn't kill itself. But
Is it true that it was named because somebody asked R&D what kind of input are you working on, and they just said, S-Video?
Yeah, I think so. That's exactly what happened in the JVC offices. Yeah,
okay,
that
all
happened,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Glad to have confirmation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think
I'm really
JVC
sorry.
Made it. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not. Really loopy. No, yeah. I'm loopy. I'm hungry, and my coffee is starting to wear off.
I was also going to say, to cap that off, I still have a Sony PVM that
yeah,
I bought
covered.
At a very affordable price. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
would have been nice if it was bigger, and I kind of like the weirdness of composite. So, yeah.
PVM is polyvinyl chloride.
How do I deal with you anymore?
I'm really sorry. I apologize to you and the listeners because I am starving right now.
Professional video monitor.
I know. I was making a PVC joke.
Well, maybe the audience doesn't know. That's my excuse every time you try and correct me.
Correct moi.
Correct Boko. No.
Right?
Okay, well, let's end now. I think we spent a good hour or so now. Alex, are you satisfied with the length of the show now?
Yes, I am. I'm especially satisfied with your let's end now, said with the same cadence as make rocket go now.
Let's end now.
Let's end now.
Chilling vision of things to come.
A grim portent.
Okay. Thanks for sticking with me, Alex.
Anytime.
Thank you, listener, for listening. Appreciate your support here as we do our special little show. And next time, I think it'll be a little bit longer, but a little bit thicker and a little bit rougher. We'll see how it goes.
Isolate all of that.
You will have a lot to talk about, good and bad. Get ready for it. Are you ready?
I think. Hang on. Yeah.
Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Well, you've seen the notes. You have a
idea. Yes, I have CrunkPod outline .doc in front of me.
And I have secret notes that you haven't seen.
You got Himitsu Noto?
It's mostly just like my script to go through. But
Okay. Crossed the
fireplace.
That's it.
Join us next time on a crunk site about nothing.
Join us next time for more Full House antics.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you then.
Sing the pages, we'd strike gold if we dug deeper. Maybe a file, maybe a lyric, and the loading times were long, but we had time.